New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to District Baseball. Today we've got an episode of District Nationals back at it again. You can follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB, and you can follow us on TikTok and YouTube at District Baseball, and you can follow me on Twitter at Reverse with two R's, two S's. It is Trey solo this week. Nick is coaching travel ball, so I am taking over the episode for this week, and we got some really good stuff to get into. A very, very good week of Nationals baseball. How about that? I have not been able to say that very often. I think maybe one other time this year, maybe, that I've said we've had a very good week. And honestly, I'm kind of just winging this because I'm very excited. I'm very giddy about how they played. And I'm just going to kind of like jump into tangents and such and talk about random stuff because it's just me and Nick isn't here to rein me in. So here we go. Anyways, let's do a recap of what happened. For those of you who are unaware, now I hope you weren't. I hope you watched this week because it was fun. You would have missed a lot of good baseball from Nats. They took on the Tigers in Detroit to start the week on Tuesday, and they took care of business with a 2-1 series win. Oddly enough, it wasn't odd that they lost on Corbin's start day. The odd part was that he pitched really well, and they still managed to actually. That was one of the few games that the bullpen did not pitch good. In the recent stretch, but they did take care of business, won the series, so it was all good. And then heading into Miami, it was kind of just like, hey, good teams got to win. You got to at least win the series, at least, if not sweep. But good teams beat bad teams. That's just how it is. Do we want to be a good team? Yes, we do want to be a good team because we swept those fish. We said, get out of here, and the way they did it. Pure dominance, pitching performances that I have never seen or that we have not seen. We have seen them, but it's been a while. It's been when there was these two guys in the same rotation. They both started with last name S. Scherzer, Strasburg. Not since those days can I remember just pure dominant pitching outings back-to-back like this. Gore basically just shut down the Marlins offense on Friday. He went 7 innings and I believe had 10 strikeouts in that game, went double digits. And DJ Hers just says, hold my beer, and proceeds to just like, it was an electric performance. He went 6 innings with 13 strikeouts. He nearly broke Steven Strasburg's rookie record for strikeouts in a game for the Nationals franchise record in his third career start. That is insane. Now, I know Strasburg did it in his first, but he was a different animal. DJ Hurz was not a number one pick. This was not expected. And yet, he was completely incredible. I honestly was speechless watching. I was just mouth agape, wondering, is this real? Is this real life? Is this actually happening? I know it's the Marlins. I know they're not good. I do not care. Any pitcher that can go out and do this in six innings against any major league team deserves a ton of credit. He probably could have kept going. I actually disagreed vehemently with the decision to take him out. Normally, I'm actually okay with taking a young pitcher out a little bit early to protect their arm. But in this case, he had it. Like, it wasn't one of those things where he looked gassed. That's when you normally want to start thinking about pulling a young guy. He was still dominant. He struck out the side in the sixth inning and was just blowing fastballs by guys, locating on the corners, and then the changeup was the equalizer. I mean, it was otherworldly. I really don't know. Like, it was almost like the Marlins couldn't see what he was throwing. Like, they could not pick up out of the hand what was coming, especially the changeup. They really could not see it. Like, I don't know what they did between starts to get that changeup looking like that and looking so deceptive. And mainly just being able to throw it in the zone. He was kind of having trouble with it fading out too far, and not, you know, you want it to fade away and fade down, but you don't want it to be completely a ball out of the hand, because then you're not going to get anyone swinging. But it looked like the deception was the factor. Somehow they were just unable to pick up the release. They just couldn't tell what pitch it was. There was a specific at-bat with Vidal Brujan, I believe, was the hitter. And he just looked confused. He walked away with, like, a grin on his face, just after striking out, because he was like, I don't even know what I just saw. Like, I had no chance. Basically admitting defeat right there. And it was, I'm really looking for the adjectives to describe it, besides, like, good. But it really just fried my brain, honestly, the whole experience of that start. And then finally, today, Nats took care of business. 3-1 offense really wasn't there, but again, excellent pitching performance from Mitchell Parker, and the bullpen shut it down. I believe the Nats gave up 2 total runs against the Marlins, and that's what you got to do. Bury a team that's bad. Bury a team that's worse than you. Establish your dominance over a team that dominated you last year. Let's be honest, the reason the Marlins made the playoffs was because they beat the Nats a lot last year, and not this year. 7-0 versus those fish. And it was it's just a lot of really good contributions from all around. This is what you need. You need everybody to step up. You need everybody to be involved. And I feel like the last week has kind of been the epitome of that. Almost every guy has contributed in some way. It hasn't been top-heavy like we had in April, where C.J. Abrams kind of carried the whole offense by himself. You've had CJ has returned to form a little bit. Lane Thomas is having an excellent return from the injured list. Jesse Winker has been really good. Jacob Young hit his first career home run today, which was absolutely insane. Actually, I'm just going to talk about that real quick, because I thought if Jacob Young was going to hit a homer in his career, it was going to be an inside the Parker. I'm pretty sure most people agreed, and I think he might have agreed too. However, he hit a tank today, 403-footer to left field, would have been gone in every park, and it was the celebration, the elation of the dugout and of Jacob Young. These guys, I like these guys. I like this team. I enjoy these players. I like them. I really do, for the most part. Rosario is on my shit list, but other than that... and Manessis, but his attitude is fine. It's just he's not playing very well. Although he had a good week. He had a good week. That's all I'm going to say about that. He had a good week. Still a long way to go for him to get in my good graces. But, you know, for the most part, everyone has contributed. Everyone in the pitching staff has contributed. And now the lineup this week showed up. The key is now sustaining this. Because, again, like we mentioned last week, you have a chance here to go on a run. You have winnable games up and down the line, up and down the schedule coming up for the next 3 weeks. This was the start. This is what we said, that the next month basically determines the season, determines the direction that they go. And even then, it might not. They might have a direction already planned in their heads that they're already going to do, regardless of record. Maybe they sell at the deadline, even if they go on a 20-game win streak, because they don't think that it's their window. But, you know, putting pressure on, it's always good when the team is putting pressure on your ownership and your GM to make something happen. Because the team has responded, the fans have responded, it's now time for ownership to respond. So we'll see. I think that what they can do at this deadline is they could, if they're still in it, do a little bit of both. But what I mean is, you know, they have guys that have, you know, sellable contracts, like Winker and some bullpen guys and, you know, Rosario, but I don't think anyone's really going to want him now. But I think you can sell some of those guys while also getting pieces back that make you better now. And when I say that, I mean controllable pieces, guys that are major league ready or close that can potentially come up and pitch or, you know, play the field or hit or something. Because obviously the team needs power. You don't want to, like, go and sell. Like, I'm not saying sell prospects to get a power bat. Absolutely not. I'm saying if you can get, like, a low-key move for a player that you were already going to trade, there's no real reason not to try. Like, if you're already trading Jesse Winker, maybe you try and get a young power bat back for him that can play immediately. Or, you know, Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams is hurt right now, but odds are he still is going to get moved. You're already going to trade him probably, so, you know, maybe you get a young bat. I mean, that's what they really need right now, is a young bat that can hit some homers. That's still the key with this team, is the lack of homers. Because seemingly they have figured out how to develop pitching. It's still early in that process. You know, we're not even halfway through the first season of this Sean Doolittle experience, if you will. But it's a good sign. It's a good sign that guys that were not even supposed to make an impact this year are not just making an impact, but pitching at a great level. Mitchell Parker has been an exceptional, you know, fourth, fifth type starter. And now DJ Hers, you know, it was only one start, but I don't care who you are. If you can strike out 13 batters in 6 innings in a major league game, you got something going right. Something is good about what you got. So that was a huge deal to see that, because I feel like some fans got discouraged after his first couple starts, which I don't really understand. I mean, he wasn't even particularly bad, especially the second one, which we mentioned he was squeezed the whole game. And I think that kind of came through, like, he kind of showed, like, hey, man, like, these are the first two starts of my career. Like, give me some time. I'm going to figure it out. And he figured it out. I mean, just attacking this. I'm back into a DJ Hers rant here, because, man, that was just unbelievable. Unbelievable pitching performance. Like, just crazy. Like, magical stuff. And also the fun aspect of it afterwards. He had the Uncle Sam hat, which I believe they just recently added as a home run celebration. I think it fits. I think it's like, it obviously fits with the DC aesthetic, you know, the nation's capital, America, stuff like that. But more so, it's just funny looking. It's just a nice goofy hat to put on after a homer. And that's the part I'm like, yeah, that's good stuff. And then he wore it in the post-game interview. The team is fun. These guys are fun. We try to, like, stay neutral, and we try to be kind of look at both sides and not get too high, not get too low. but they're fun. They really are. Like, they're having a blast out there. And I just, you just really, because, like, we could be, you could see a team like, you know, last year's Padres or this year's Blue Jays, who just don't seem to have much fun no matter what's going on. I don't think the Nationals have that problem. They know how to have some fun. And today was just a perfect example of that. It was just, they had a blast out there this whole series. They had fun. They just, and when you know, when you're playing like that, you play better. I think everybody would agree. All the players would say the same thing. When the vibes are good, the results are normally good. And, like, they've got good vibes. There's no denying that. I mean, right now the vibes are very good. And I would love to see it continue. Now, that is the next part of this, of course. Extrapolating this, sustaining this over a longer period of time, you can have a good week. This is probably the best week of Nationals baseball in terms of win-loss, in terms of pure dominance that they've had since 21, probably June of 21, probably 3 years ago. Can they continue? Because what happened in 21 is that they did not, and then they had to sell. So, like I said, the schedule is favorable here. I will check it out real quick. We are heading to the Diamondbacks. The D-backs, obviously, last year were the National League champions, but this year has been a bit of a struggle for them. Their offense is still very strong, although Corbin Carroll has not really been that guy so far. He's hitting a little bit better as of recent, so something to watch out for there. But their pitching staff has really not been there. They've had, it's really not their fault. I mean, you know, that you can, their development isn't the best right now. And every team has injuries, but they haven't gotten any innings from Erod yet. They've barely gotten any innings from Merrill Kelly. Zach Gallen's still on the injured list. And Jordan Montgomery just hasn't been good yet for them. And it's been a struggle. So right now, the key with this next series in Arizona is going to be the offense. We gotta take advantage. We got to score some runs because Arizona's going to score. They're going to. The matchups are also not the best for pitchers. You know, Corbin's going to pitch in this series. I think Irvin will pitch, so I like that, obviously. And then I'm not sure how they're actually lining up the rotation because Josiah Gray pitched some rehab starts. I'm not sure when he's coming back and slotting in there. So we're going to have to wait and see kind of how that shakes out. But either way, Corbin's in there. So you're probably like, and he's coming off a good start, which means there's no way he can have a good start twice in a row. You're going to have to score some runs to win this series. And this is a winnable series. I think that right now we match up with the D-backs pretty evenly. And, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world here if they go 1-2. You can't get swept, but, you know, Arizona can be really good. They still have a strong offense. They can score in bunches. It can happen. The key is obviously the next series in Colorado. You got to take them down. You got to take down the Rockies. They're not a good team. They don't have the pitching. They don't have the offense, really. It is going to be kind of difficult. It's at Coors. It's never easy to win at Coors, although the Nats have been pretty good at winning at Coors Field, I feel like, in recent history. That is going to be a key series. They really need to take 2 of 3, if not sweep it. And then after that, they are in San Diego, who they're pretty good. You know, they're solid, but they just got kind of destroyed by the Mets. And so did the Nats, of course. But I would say the Mets overall are, you know, kind of around the Nats level. And I think the Padres are kind of in that same level. So winnable games there for sure. And then the Tampa Bay Rays coming back home to the East Coast, although it's not actually home, it's in Tampa. Got to beat the Rays right now because they look bad. Got to beat them. So, you know, you're looking at, if let's say, let's do some calculating. If the next 4 series here, which is 12 games,
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Math. 12 games. you're looking to go 8-4, I think. If you go 8-4 in that stretch, that gets you a couple games over 500. You might be in a wild card spot. You probably are, actually, because in that case, you would have taken some games from Arizona and also the Padres. Then it's go time. Then it's like, okay, what do we do? Because then it's the beginning of July. You're slightly over 500. The National League is bad. Do you go for it? And once again, when I say go for it, I don't mean sell all these prospects and buy, like, crazy. Do you make some low-key moves and try and win some more games and potentially make the playoffs? I mean, you know, it's kind of a I feel like the playoffs can be a get in and see what happens type of deal. You know, the Diamondbacks last year, I didn't think that they were going to make any noise, and yet they walked right in to the World Series. They were 84-78. I mean, right now the Nats are only one game under 500, so they could be kind of close to that at the end of the year. You never know. And it would just be good in terms of the overall vibes again for this team. You want your guys to compete. You want your guys, I'm not even saying compete in terms of making the playoffs, but being in the race at the end of the year, just to give them like, okay, we were there. We were right there. We were close. We could taste it. Now give us a little bit of ammo and we're going to go get it next year. But you know, I don't think the full-blown tank does much of anything anymore here, because there's so many bad teams in the National League that are also in the similar position, and some of them are going to tank, and some of them are going to tank before we tank. And that basically, and there's a lottery now. You're not guaranteed any pick. If there was no lottery and you knew that you were going to get a top pick, maybe. But now, at this point in the season, you know, they're only one game under 500. They're not tanking. Whether the ownership wanted to or not, it's not happening. The players have basically refused that and said, no, we're going to try and win. Sorry, guys. So that could change the course of what ownership does. I mean, I'm just saying, you get in and see what happens. Like, you know, like sell the guys that need to be sold. I'm not, again, I don't want to act like I'm saying buy a bunch of guys. And don't give away any prospects. Obviously, none of that. Low key moves. Just don't do nothing. Just don't do nothing. Make a decision. Sell some pieces off. You know, depending on where you are is what you get in return. If they go on like a horrible losing streak here, maybe you get a guy who's going to have some more development time. If they go on a winning streak, maybe you get a guy who's major league ready or maybe even already in the majors. But like a guy with multiple, like I'm talking, you know, 4 years of control minimum, stuff like that. But it would just be nice for the team specifically, like, that goes a long way in a clubhouse to see ownership trying. You know, you can win as a group in the clubhouse as much as you want, but at the end of the day, the people up top have say in what happens. They can give you a team, they can give you players that can help you win. So when they do, it helps everyone's morale most of the time. You know, you get cases like the Padres last year where it seems to do the opposite effect, but those are more so rare than I would say common. I like it, winning is fun. Let's keep doing it. It's more enjoyable to sit here and talk about winning than it is to talk about, oh, we should sell this guy for this prospect the deadline again. No, I like to talk about winning. And I think that depending on where the next couple weeks go, you could see them at least trying to compete for this wild card spot again. Don't even have to make the playoffs, but if they're in the thick of things in September, that's a good thing, regardless of outcome. So I think that this team's got something, and they're fun. They're fun as hell. Just I got to reiterate that before we call it here, because I genuinely, this is the most fun. This week has been some of the most fun Nats baseball has gotten in quite some time, and I'm enjoying it. A lot of cool moments. DJ Hers, obviously, and just these young guys kind of embracing the fact that they are young, the fact that everyone's kind of doubting them, the fact that they haven't been that great recently. They're trying to these young guys are trying to bring the fan base back. I mean, I got to respect them trying to take that on their shoulders as you know, young 20-somethings, basically. You know, there's not that many veteran guys here. So, it's cool, man. It's really fun to win some games. It's really fun to root for a team that's got a chance, you know. And you start tasting that chance and you want it. You want to win. It's fun. And I think that there's a case to be made here that the Nats could make the playoffs. I mean, they're currently in a spot. They're tied for a spot as I'm recording this right now. That's with no moves being made. So imagine, you know, James Wood gets healthy and you call him up. Imagine you trade Trevor Williams and you get, like, a controllable bat. And then you have this pitching development that apparently is working. You know, you could probably get another young pitcher in a trade, potentially, if that's the route you want to go, and develop him for next year. There's a lot of options. I feel like that's a good thing to have. Like, you can make many different choices. Everything's kind of on the table. You're not limited, which is good, because I feel like in recent years, the Nats have been kind of, they're going to do the one thing. They're going to lose really bad. They're going to tank. They're going to sell, like, everything they can sell, and that's it. And, you know, I was okay with that for those years because the team was so bad. I mean, I shouldn't say okay with, but, you know, I thought they were the right moves considering the situations at the time. Let's just say that. But, you know, now I feel like you don't have to sell. You don't have to buy. You don't have to. The only course of action that you cannot take is doing nothing. And I feel like that's the key. Just don't do nothing. Pick a direction. Do something. But either way, we kind of still need to see. We still need to wait and see. Basically, until once July 1st hits, then it's like, all right, let's pick. Let's decide what we're gonna do. And it probably will end up being underwhelming. It probably won't be what we want. It'll probably end up being a standard sell-off. You know, getting players that we won't see for a couple years. But I hope not. We could. We could probably benefit from competing, like I said. So, anyways, that is going to be the end of the Nats episode today. A little bit shorter because it's just me. Didn't have anyone to bounce my thoughts off. But anyways, check us out. Make sure to hit like, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're on the podcast, check us out on YouTube as well. Check us out on Twitter at DistrictBSB. Check me out at Reverse2R2S's and on TikTok and YouTube at District Baseball, and we will see you in the next Nats episode. Let's go Nats!
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.